I had a big, long scripture of reference I was going to read you this morning, and a big, long sermon I was going to preach, and I'm going to take just a minute and believe that the Lord can nutshell this thing, because I think that God wants to say something to you that's in line with everything else that we've heard. In the book of 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, Elijah has fled before a woman who has threatened to take his life and is in a desert. He's in the wilderness. 1 Kings 19:3 says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. And he came to Beersheba in Judah and left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert, and he sat down under a broom tree and he prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. And then he lay down under a tree and fell asleep, and the word of the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And I want to talk to you for about 3 minutes, because I want to ask you the same question that God asked Elijah. The question is not, why are you in the desert? Why are you in the wilderness? Why are you unemployed? Why are you stricken with grief? The question is, what are you doing in the wilderness? What are you doing with the place that God has put you in, or the place that you find yourself in? What are you doing in the wilderness? After the Irish poet William Butler Yeats died, W.H. Auden, who's another Irish poet, wrote a eulogy, and he ended his poem saying this, follow poet, follow right, to the bottom of the night. With your unconstraining voice, still persuade us to rejoice. In the deserts of the heart, let the healing fountain start. In the prison of his days, teach the free man how to praise. I believe that God wants to let the healing fountain start when you find yourself in the desert. I think that's what desert places are for. I think that's what wilderness experiences are for. So that God can show you that there are fountains in the desert, that there's water just beneath the surface of the sand, and that all of the dark places that we walk through, that God allows us to walk through those dark places so that we can know that thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And at the end of that dark valley, there is a table prepared for me and a cup that runs over. And that's the purpose of the wilderness places, of the desert places in the lives of God's people. Now, I'm not going to go into all of the things I was going to go into about desert places, but I want to share with you four things, little lessons from wilderness wanderings, things to do when you're unemployed. Things to do when the lights go out. Things to do when your world falls down around you. Things to do when you're laid off. Things to do when you have no money. Things to do when your house burns down. Things to do when the doctor says you're going to die. Things to do when your kids disappoint you and let you down. Things to do when somebody that you trust puts a knife into you. All the things to do in the desert places. And there's just four of them, and I'll give them to you. I'll give them to you in alliteration, which I don't do very much as far as sermonic presentations are concerned. But the first one is this. Reassess your position. Reassess your position. Take a spiritual inventory of your life, in other words. Let me tell you what David did when he found himself in a tough place. This is Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Desert places, tough places in life, are not necessarily places of wanderings. They can be places of rest. They can be places when you don't have anything to do but sit down because you're lost. And in those sitting down times, reassess your position. Take a spiritual inventory of your life. What kind of jackass am I anyway? Why am I doing down here in the desert complaining and moaning and saying, take my life? Find out who you are. The second thing is this: remember your past. Reassess your position, remember your past. Those children of Israel walking through that desert place needed to stop every once in a while and remembered that as bad as it was in the desert, it was a lot worse in Egypt. A lot worse in Egypt. Remember your past. Take a walk up and down your sins, and you'll come back praising God for His grace and for His glory. When you think things are tough now, remember what it was like when you were on drugs, when you were on alcohol. If you think the pinchers are really being applied now, remember what it was like 20 or 30 years ago when the world caved in on top of you. Remember what it was like. Remember your past. The third thing is this: recognize your friends. The desert place is a place to recognize your friends. They'll come from strange places. Elijah had ravens that came to him and brought him bread and food to eat in the desert. Friends, scavenger birds, filthy birds that came and brought him something to eat. Jesus had angels that came and ministered to him. Remember your friends. Recognize your friends. They come in strange places. Ralph Maul was telling me the other day about the time when his boat overturned in the Sebastian Inlet. And he was swept out to sea. I mean, a difficult, precarious position, hanging onto the bottom of his boat, all of his fishing tackle going to the bottom, just hanging on for his life as the tide and the wind sweeps the boat all the way out a mile out to sea in that terrible rip tide that was going on. And the guys that came and picked him up, jumped into a little boat, rushed out there to pick him up to save him, were drunk. Whooping and hollering. But you know, when you're drowning, you don't care whether it's a drunk man or a sober man who plucks you out of the sea. It really doesn't make any difference. God has ravens to send to those who are in tough places. Out in California a couple of weeks ago, several weeks ago, I guess, and one of the missionaries at Wycliffe Bible Translators was telling me about a situation that had just happened, that one of the old retired missionaries was walking down the street out there, and a young thug came along and hit her in the head and grabbed her purse and took off down the street, knocked her out there on the sidewalk. This is an old woman who's 79, 80 years old. And this guy was robbing her purse, and there was a young girl walking down the sidewalk and saw all this happen, and she took off after that guy. Grabbed him, grabbed the purse out of his hand, tried to tackle him. He jumped into a car and took off, and she got the purse back to the woman. And so the folks at Wycliffe, at the headquarters out there, they wanted to honor her. They thought this was really great, a heroic kind of thing. And they tried to get her to come in. They were going to have a banquet and all this kind of thing. And she said, well, we really can't do that. And they checked around to find out why. Well, the reason was that she was wanted by the police. And she didn't want her picture in the paper. But she said that guy had no right to hit that old woman like that and to run away. God will send marvelous friends to take care of you in the desert place. Recognize your friends. And the fourth thing is this: rejoice in God's provision. Rejoice in God's provision. There is manna in the desert. There are angels in the wilderness. There's water beneath the surface. There are wells that abound. God has His provision waiting for those who will continue to stand and believe and walk with Him. Reassess your position, remember your past, recognize your friends, rejoice in God's provision. Now let me read you something. In the 3rd century, a man by the name of Cyprian, who later became the bishop of Carthage in Africa and was martyred for his faith, wrote a note to a friend. And I ran across this in some reading I was doing this last week. This was the 3rd century. This was in the year 200 A.D. And he wrote a note to a friend. It was a powerful letter explaining what had happened to him. And I want to read it to you. "This seems a cheerful world, Donatius." Cyprian is writing to his friend Donatius. "This seems a cheerful world, Donatius, when I view it from this fair garden under the shadow of these vines. But if I climbed to some great mountain and looked out over the wide lands, you know very well what I would see. Brigands on the high road, pirates on the seas, in the amphitheaters, men murdered to please the applauding crowds. Under all roofs, misery and selfishness. It's really a bad world, Donatius. An incredibly bad world. And yet, in the midst of it, I have found a quiet and holy people. They have discovered a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of this sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They have overcome the world. These people, Donatius, are the Christians, and I am one of them.